hear the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Brian Barrett.
Well, today it's all about the Big Blue of Middle Tennessee State. We've got a lot to talk about today from Dr. Greg Nagel, first of all, joining us. And a little later on, maybe some environmental conversation. That's all straight ahead here this morning. And Career Development Center services all coming up here on the show. But first of all, we welcome in Dr. Nagel, a professor in the MTSU Department of Economics and Finance. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning to you, Brian. I'm glad to be here.
Well, certainly glad to have you today. You're here to kind of talk about the decades of research that you've put into CEO worker pay and,
yeah,
and the pay gap, right?
I am. It's started, what, 45 years ago. Actually, recently, what triggered it was a real extraordinary CEO, Greg Merriman. Right after the UAW strike, said, hey, why are workers so increasingly disappointed with their wages? And that really resonated with me. I mean, 45 years ago, I was a co-op student at General Motors, and I saw a massive impact of perceptions of unequal pay, and then undue taking of credit by others, and the cooperation, too. And there were amazing impact on outcomes. So that launched my efforts, and it got quite a bit of traction. There was a time with the UAW where I finally realized I was taking some credit I shouldn't, and the result was, you know, real flip. I'd gone from where they threatened to knife my tires if I touched another tool to where they said, hey, rules for you are suspended. You can do what you want when we're around. I mean, it was amazing when I would give credit what happened. And then on the other hand, the unfairness or fairness dynamics, whatever, that was a bit stretch for the upper management. So I left in 98 to really research some of these dynamics involving fair pay and fairness and all that.
And so this, I guess, research has been published, and you had some, collaboration along the way. Maybe talk about that a bit.
Oh, man, yes. The co-author is a wonderful guy, Claudio Fernandez-Arez. I mean, how do you get luck like this? He heard of my research, and then we got a hold of each other, and I mean, he's published probably 20 articles in Harvard Business Review. He's sought by around the world, and anyhow, I had ideas he liked, right? So he teamed up with me on this. It was very hard to publish, and it got into Fortune magazine, and that's where, you know, you sort of, you know, hear about this right now. It was really neat what the Fortune crew did to make the research come together in a short thing.
Yeah, but years of research, years of information put together, and then all of a sudden it happened quickly, it sounds like.
Oh, man, yes. And that's kind of, I think, the way the world is, right? You know, you work, you work, you work, and then all of a sudden the pieces come together, and, hey, you get a little bit of traction. And it was really neat. You know, I mean, I think what caught Claudio's eye was, hey, for, you know, like before 1970, firm value went up real at 6% a year, while CEO pay was virtually flat. And then in 1970, there was a workers' pay was going up in that period. 1970 is total flip. Then the CEO pay skyrocketed and the worker pay flattened. And that was when, 1970 was when the Forbes list of 800 highest paid, the scorecard, you know, everybody got to see that scorecard now, started in 1970. So, hey, I'm underpaid became big deal for those CEOs. And that's when the takeoff launched. And all kinds of things happened then.
So where are we today in all of this, do you think? Are we still at the CEO pay gap? I mean, is it so much higher than the worker pay down the line?
What struck me as I was working through all this research is we're all the same. We want, you know, we're hardwired into our brain. I found MRI studies that say, hey, if people feel unfairly paid, they have a protest response and they do something about it. So maybe they were previously working together on a project, but all of a sudden they feel, hey, I'm underpaid, and their attention drifts, right, to fixing that wrong. And so, okay, you know, the CEOs all of a sudden found out, hey, I'm underpaid. And that never ends. Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter whether you're getting $10 million today, $100 million today, you can always feel that you're unfairly underpaid. And, you know, I mean, I see that at my level. I see that at their level. It's a hidden, unconscious response of our brains until you become aware and take different actions, like the people that founded the United States did, or me when I finally woke up. You're just going to keep sort of going on that hidden thing. It's like kids on a cell phone. You know, you don't put any restrictions on them, and man, they're going to be on that thing 20 hours a day.
And then they discover on their own, right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You discover the tough outcomes, the outcomes you don't like, which is what I think our founding fathers, you know, the Washingtons, the Franklins of this world, they looked at old Europe and they said, man, we don't like the misery, the beggars, the, you know, just incredible divisiveness that we saw over there. And they were enjoying the world that we had over here. And they said, well, we got to change that. And wealth, you know, excessive concentration of wealth is a problem. And it was George Washington, you know, he had his faults, no doubt. But wow, in the history of the world, I've never seen another person who could have taken as much power as he could take and then used the leverage he had to support giving power to others so that the whole nation engaged rather than just his little clique.
Yeah.
It was just amazing.
But step up when, you know, a leader was needed to show the way. I was just watching a documentary about, you know, he fired the first cannon shot that ended the Revolutionary War, but then got out of the way to let, you know, to lead by example even.
He led by example, and we can do the same. That's what I finally found. You know, I read about George, I read about early USA, de Tocqueville, all that, and checked with my aunt who was born in 1900. You know, is this all fairy tales? And she, no, it's real. These people collaborated back then, and, you know, they gave each other credit and stuff like that. You know, you had to in the farming community or you wouldn't survive. And I said, well, I don't, you know, I'm not in a survival situation, but I can certainly give credit. And that's what I did to the union. And it's like all those problems that I had evaporated. It wasn't a fairy tale. If I can get my head out of the sand, I can get better outcomes. And I think that's, you know, I'm just human. It's like the CEOs. I think they're all good people, you know, reasonably good people like I am. You know, we try to be good. But, man, if you don't know how your brain's working, you're going to be sort of on a path to a difficult outcome.
We are talking today with Dr. Greg Nagel, professor in the MTSU Department of Economics and Finance. And the piece in Fortune magazine, when was that published?
Oh, man, dates are not my strong suit, but I think it was, what, April of this year, March, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Not, you know, very recent, very recent.
How long did it take you to put together this information to get it into a magazine like Fortune?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I've been trying for, you know, since 2005, I've been trying to publish this research. And it cannot go into one of my colleagues who's director of data science at MTSU, was trained at Harvard and then at Berkeley. And he says, Greg, you can never publish this in an academic journal. It violates the tenets that are held to be true. And so, you know, then Claudio, you know, he picked up on it and he says, well, this is true. So at least from his experience. And so he helped me get it published. And so that's, you're talking from 2005 to today to finally get something. The first thing ever.
20 years.
20 years. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. But it happened. You know, a little bit of persistence required, but
sure.
It happened.
It would have been easy 20 years ago to say, you know what, it's just not meant to be. There was some persistence along the way
by
yourself.
Yeah. But, you know, I had that experience in General Motors where it was just extraordinary as a co-op. I built this thing. There were 68 people, engineers, managers, UAW people, tool crib attendants, and they helped me build this thing that Tiffany said maybe five people in the world could put together. I mean, before that, it was Boltzwood airplanes for me. And wow, it was just, everybody was volunteering. And then I got my first job and all went away. And that dichotomy just drove me to say, hey, what's going on? I want this back. And that's what fueled me that's what's been fueling me and will probably till the day I die, is I want that back.
What's next?
Oh, you know, I keep working with Claudio, and then we picked up some colleagues from over in Japan, where they have some neat things to about how firms work and operate to reduce risk while increasing the ability to survive long term and do well. And anyhow, we're continuing on with the research, and I work here locally. I keep looking for that opportunity to apply the ideas, you know. And so, you know, hey, I'm working with a guy out in right now who's another incredible CEO in Oregon, who's, you know, at least listening to me, saying, hey, you know, let's try some of these ideas of giving meaningful credit, you know, not Facebook likes. That's not even the meaningful credit for the UAW back when I was doing it resulted in them getting more respect and more work and being heard, which is really key, that they were heard as opposed to just told what to do, be arms and legs. And I'm not pro or against unions. I just want to know how to work with people that have talent. And they did. So I want to work with them.
And really, at the end of the day, that's all everybody wants is just the opportunity to be heard and seen.
I think so. I really do. And that's a strong internal motivation, which I think people, you know, there's a need to shift when you're hiring people, CEOs in particular, for the internal motivation as opposed to this external, hey, you can get more money, you can get more whatever. You know, you need to find people that want to build and create a dream that others want to contribute to too, as opposed to just me. And what can I get out of the system? And that's, you know, personal belief.
Any final thoughts?
Well, I certainly enjoyed the interview with you, Brian.
Yeah.
That's what I can say.
Very fun.
Hey, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Dr. Greg Nagel joining us here in studio. Our conversation today all about the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders. The university pumping out some great, fine folks, professors and students alike. We're going to be continuing our conversation about the Stormwater Program and an event coming up that you'll want to be a part of when we come back here on The Action Line.
At Middle Tennessee Electric, we see the lines that link us all, illuminating our neighborhoods, empowering our businesses, and helping us to recharge. Because we believe in the power of good energy. Whether it comes from our grids, the sun, or a kind heart. And as your family and our region continue to grow, you can trust that we'll always be there for you. Middle Tennessee Electric, bringing good energy.
If your job situation is changing because of layoffs or restructuring, you may have to make several decisions. One important decision may be what to do with your retirement plan. Make sure your retirement stays on track. I'm Lee Colvin, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, and I'd like to help. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for a face-to-face appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Good morning. It's a little bit heavier than it was. 65 southbound here at Trinity Lane as traffic makes its way down from the north through Madison. There at Briley on 65 southbound, it's gotten heavier. I-40 westbound coming through the Mount Juliet area on through Hermitage as you continue towards Donelson on 40 westbound here up by B&A Airport. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken has new items on the menu. Check them all out today when you order online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro. If you prefer your pets small and furry, we've got you covered here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our extensive small animal department located downstairs. Here at Animal City, we are very proud to be family-owned and serving Murfreesboro since 1990. You can find us at 919 Northwest Broad Street here in Murfreesboro, Animal City.
Listen each weekday morning at 9 o'clock for the Roundtable here on News Radio WGNS. Interesting hosts and guests with the news, views, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Our conversation today goes to now the MTSU Civil Engineering and Environmental Services Department. Environmental Specialist Cynthia Allen joins us here this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about the stormwater program, and you've got some community events that are kind of coming up, I think, right?
We do, and what a day to talk about stormwater with this rain today, right?
So first of all, tell me about the program.
So we've had the stormwater program now since 2010, around 2011. And we've been partnering. We've got a co-permit with the city of Murfreesboro, and we provide outreach to the community. So we get to do a lot of really fun community events, and we have a lot of partners that we work with. So we just had one this past Saturday, and we'll have a boat day coming up on this next Saturday with all of our local partners. So we're in the community, and hopefully you get a chance to see us and interact with us.
You know, that's a wonderful thing about having a university in such a city of our size here, because it really gives you an opportunity to get some I guess real life work here in your area to make a difference too.
We do. We have so many great partners, and the students get to come out. We even had a student from Blackman High School who is Emily. She came this weekend. She's hopefully a new stormwater person in the future. She's a sophomore in high school, and she came out to volunteer with us. So we get to interact with a lot of different people in the community, all levels. So
yeah,
maybe she'll come to MTSU.
Yeah, that, you know, might as well stay home, right, and keep it local here. Talk about this past weekend's event. It was, I guess, at the Lane Agri Park. Was it part of what was going on? I mean, there's the farmers market and all going on, but a lot of foot traffic through there and a chance to educate.
Yes, this was a really great event. It was a second one that we've had. The first one got rained out, but this year we decided to have it inside and outside with rain or shine. And, of course, that helped a lot because we had a lot of rain on Saturday.
Yeah. So,
but that was a strategic event that we created with the Extension Office and with the Master Gardeners. And so, obviously, they take a lead with that location. The Master Gardeners have many gardens on site. And the goal was to kind of interweave the stormwater message through how people garden at home. There's lawn and turf plots out there, a lot of different gardens for vegetables and flowers and pollinators. So we had some great speakers. It was packed with speaker topics. So we really had a great day, even with the rain coming in.
So for those who missed that event, and we've got another event to bring up and talk about, but what is that message about coexisting, I guess, and just the stormwater message that you like to get out there to folks?
Well, we'd like to say our yards are closer to the rivers than we think, and that in some ways we're all on waterfront property because everything drains to the nearby rivers in our roadways and sometimes from our yards and in our neighborhoods. Anything that goes into a storm drain does not get treated, so it ends up in the local river. And so some of those nutrients and from grass clippings or even leaves or just over-fertilization, sometimes pathogens from bacteria with our pet waste. Some of those things can just flow into the river. And so they affect some of the wildlife that lives there and obviously the water quality. So it's just a great time to talk to people about yard work because people are passionate about, you know, gardening. I love gardening. And so it was a nice way to kind of show different things people might be doing that protect water quality and then some things they might not have thought of.
Yeah. I would think that it could be difficult at times to share, you know, what goes into your storm drain winds up in the river. You know, it's hard to make that connection, but it's maybe like an aha moment when you do.
It is. And one of my favorite things that happened this weekend was one of our master gardeners. She said what really helped her was when you can plug into some of these new tools. Cumberland River Compact has an iCreek that you can put in your zip code and it'll tell you your stream and your water quality. EPA has one that's Know Your Watershed and you can put in. So you can tell in just your zip code and you can see your local waterways and how they're impaired and what impairments are there. So a lot of sediment, that's a big one here. E. coli, sometimes from septics and old sewer lines. We always have nutrients. We're in a high nutrient area here. So nutrients, anytime we can keep our nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus down, that helps us keep our water quality clean. And of course, just all the other things, because as rain flows through our community, it picks up all these other things, you know, motor oils and detergents and, you know, all these things. So everybody can do their part and help us keep our waterways clean.
Everything, when you're at the car wash, the things that go down, right?
I mean, yeah, car washes. If you're going to wash your car at a community car wash, one that's a commercial one, that will actually have some pre-treatment engineered devices in there to kind of help reduce some of that. But if you're going to do washing your car at home, if you can just help that drain to a like a natural grassy area or something, that the natural grasses and soils will help filter out some of those things before it hits, you know, the waterways. So
just maybe think just a little bit before, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's maybe part of the message. Cynthia Allen here with us today, environmental specialist with the MTSU Civil Engineering and Environmental Services Department. We talked about the weekend event this past weekend, but what's coming up, the annual Boat Day, right?
Yes, we've got Boat Day coming up. It's always the third Saturday. And we used to do this in Murfreesboro, but our location was at Old Fort Park. And sometimes we'd get a lot of water coming off of that dam. So we usually get rain this time of the year.
Yeah.
And so that event is geared towards families getting out on the water and learning safe paddling and just being a family-friendly event. So we ended up merging that Boat Day with Smyrna, and we have that now at Jefferson Springs. So the city of Murfreesboro is partnering with Smyrna on this, and we again have some great partners that come together to make this happen. It's a huge family-friendly day at Jefferson Springs from 9 to 1, and hopefully the weather will hold. Everybody keep thinking good thoughts for weather, and you know, come on out if you've never been there. It's kind of a festival of sorts. They have a lot of different activities for families to learn and see. We've got fish coming from TWRA and fish hatchery. So we have a lot of, you know, other neat things too. But you get your chance once you get out on the water to learn how to paddle safely. And you can try different types of boats and see how they feel. We've got canoes and different sit-on and sit-in kayaks. And I think they are trying to bring some two-person kayaks, which we don't get a lot of. But
so it's not necessarily a bring your own. They're going
right.
to be there.
You don't have to bring anything. It's free. They provide all of these. You've got the vest. There's a lot of education around the different types of vests and how to choose a vest safely so that when you're out on the water, you know that what you have is going to protect you. Also, our outdoor program at Murfreesboro at MTSU is going to come and bring some of their items that you can rent. So it gives you a chance to talk to them and their staff. So we're really appreciative of all the people that come. Different park systems, Murfreesboro and Smyrna Parks, come and they bring the boats and some staff and everybody to help. So a lot of people come together to make this event happen, and we hope everybody can come out and enjoy the day.
That is going to be, again, Saturday, 9 to 1. It's the 17th annual Boat Day at the Jefferson Springs Recreation Area. That's right off of West Jefferson Pike. Go over the bridge. It's right there to the right as you go from Murfreesboro right into Smyrna. I mean, it's just inside Smyrna. So
yeah,
very close out there. And if you've never been, just a really a great place to enjoy the water. And you know, honestly, between Murfreesboro and Smyrna with the Greenway trailheads and you know, the water sources that, whether it be creeks or rivers that snake through the county, we have a pretty unique area that it's not just everywhere you have this outdoor water experience.
Absolutely. And even the wildlife that's here, the Southeast is a hot spot for different aquatic life because of the rivers that we have and the different geology. We have species that exist in some places here that are nowhere else in the world. And so we want to encourage people. This is one of those fun events that we get to talk about recreation and enjoying the outdoors. So it's nice to have different kinds of events for people to learn and appreciate our waterways. But we're very blessed to be in this state with the water resources that we have. And so we encourage people to get out there and connect with your waterways. And once you connect with them, that helps us with our protection and preservation efforts.
Well, I mean, you learn to appreciate, and then it's like, well, what can I do to help, right? So, I mean,
right.
It's all part of the process, it seems.
Right.
Kids, welcome to this event, I'm sure.
Yes, it's definitely a family-friendly event, as long as the kids come with their parents. You just bring your family and come and enjoy the day. We usually have around 400 people So it's a big event. A lot of times we give giveaways at the events that we do. And so there's a chance for drawings and just fun activities while you're waiting.
Now, 9 to 1, is it the entire time? Is it, you know, maybe come, you could easily spend an hour, hour and a half, and,
exactly,
you know, kind of come and go?
There's a lot of different activities that you can participate in. So, and the whole park is reserved this time, so we should have easy access. I know it's hard when you get that many people coming together for parking, but we should have plenty of parking and fun location for people. It's definitely an event that we're proud of. And and everybody seems to have a really good time when they come.
If you've never been to that recreation area, if you've got that whole thing, you know, you've got plenty of room. Maybe as a family, bring a picnic, enjoy some lunch, you know,
yes,
there on the grounds.
There will be food trucks there too, but definitely,
nice,
you could come. Lots of people put out blankets and kind of enjoy the whole day. So yeah, it's a really nice day. So hopefully the weather holds for us. And
90% of our weekends have been rainy of late, right?
Yeah.
You know, but it looks like sunny and hot over the weekend. So
yes,
you know, just that perfect.
We're hoping all the rain kind of hits now.
Yeah.
So every time it rains before this event, we're glad it might just ease on out.
Mid-90s. So you know, hey,
beautiful.
You want to be on the water then, right?
And there's a lot of canopy there, so it's not. It's not miserably hot because there's high trees. And so even if you're not in the water, it's not too hot or miserable. It's a really, really nice location.
It's been a fun time talking to you this morning.
You too. Thank you. I hope
Absolutely.
To see you at one of our events. And yeah, we appreciate so much you letting us spread our message.
Absolutely. Joining us today, Cynthia Allen, Environmental Specialist with the MTSU Civil Engineering and Environmental Services Department, joining us here on the Action Line this morning, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, who has delivered reliable service and peace of mind for nearly 90 years. Manage your account at MTE.com or the My MTE app.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. We really focus on value. They get value. They get more than what they pay for. They get a higher level service. They get higher level food at a price that is a lot more affordable. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give people the value, and again, that they were fulfilled both within their stomach and as well as their pockets. We want them to feel satisfied. Come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
CBS News Brief. At least 5 dead in Israel from overnight Iranian missile strikes. Israel claims it's hit the headquarters of an elite Iranian military unit. The BBC's Giyar Gol is in Tehran.
Many are extremely worried. They are trying to leave. And even today, police says all the entrance of the city is open for people to leave the city if they wish.
The conflict now expected to take center stage at a meeting of Western leaders in Canada, among them President Trump. CBS's Willie James Inman.
Before he departed for Canada, the president teased that we could potentially see some trade deals announced on the sidelines of the G7 summit.
Police flushed the suspect out of the woods near his home in the murder of a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband. CBS's Lilia Luciano spoke with Vance Belcher's roommate.
He said that he was a born-again Christian. He cared a lot about abortion back in the day when he first became a born-again Christian, but that he didn't talk about it a whole lot.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, The Good Neighbor Network. Now, here's your Rutherford weather forecast.
You scattered showers and storms at times this afternoon with cloudy skies, a high in the upper 80s. Tonight, chance for rain and storms, cloudy, a low near 70. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 72.
So today's good neighbor of the day, Daphne David, the new president and CEO at Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital. Today's good neighbor of the day from Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts and WGNS. To send in a good neighbor, text NEIGHBOR 216-589-3145 or head to WGNSradio.com/goodneighbor. Our birthday club winner today, Mildred Campbell, among those celebrating birthdays today and the Sunday birthdays and anniversaries as well. So congratulations to Mildred. We'll get to head over to Slick Pig Barbecue to enjoy some banana pudding from Slick Pig and WGNS. We do the birthday announcement and giveaway each weekday morning.
He's local. Certified financial planner Jason Qualls. Financial Coaching Radio. Weekdays at 4 on News Radio WGNS. The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Back, our focus today on Middle Tennessee State University. And this morning, we have with us the director of MTSU's Career Development Center, Dr. Becca Moore, joining today and going to talk about services available to not only students, but alumni. And Dr. Moore, thanks for being here. Pull that mic up real snug to you there. And, you know, I think as alumni, sometimes maybe we feel like, you know, we've come and gone, but they're, you know, alumni, students alike, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And economies are always evolving as well. So as industries change and work needs change, we like to help everybody skill up. So whether it's a current incoming student who is just trying to figure out what they want to do, or somebody who's transitioning into something that might be more fulfilling, we like to have those conversations as well.
So, talk to me about the digital badge edition. What is that? Tell me about
that. Yeah, so this is an asynchronous opportunity for students to really take a little bit of a deep dive into understanding how they can be more marketable at the time of graduation. And so they go through 15 different modules on their own that complements probably some stuff that they're already doing in their academics, but it's an opportunity for them to reflect on what they've done or engage in things that maybe they haven't thought about doing so that they're more marketable at the time of graduation.
So the Career Development Center, this, are you, do you have a presence on campus? I mean, is it at the KUC?
Yes. So Okay. We're located in KUC 328. I think we've been there the 40 years of inception. Okay. that it's been there. Yeah, but we are also available. People can schedule appointments either on the phone. We do virtual appointments, obviously, or in person. So we try to meet people where they're at.
Well, it sounds like, obviously, with the virtual aspect of our world today, it sometimes mm-hmm. makes that easier. Because if you're talking about career development, you probably have a career now. You're trying to develop maybe work up the ladder, things of that nature, and just to make it as easy as possible, sounds mm-hmm. like.
Absolutely. And it's also helpful to learn about new industries or industries moving into the area. So, right, we have a lot of virtual meetings with employers. We work closely with the county and the state to understand the economic influence that's coming in as well.
You touched on it a bit, but maybe kind of walk us through with an example of, you know, your exposure experience mapping that could help students and alumni.
Yeah, so this is a really individualized experience, right? It depends really what somebody's exposure is. So we all know that a bachelor's degree is more common now than it was, say, even 20 years ago. And with that bachelor's degree, though, if somebody doesn't have experience, they're not super marketable, right? Soft skills. Do they know how to show up to work on time, right? Do you call in if you get a flat tire on the way to work, right? Those are things that are transferable across any industry. But how do you get those? Well, it's through experience, right? And experience can come in a variety of different ways. Are you a leader on campus? Do you know how to motivate other people? Do you know how to speak in a variety of different settings? Do you know how to have professionalism? Do you act with integrity, right? So these are all things that, regardless of what somebody's major is, helps them be employable, especially if they can talk about how to demonstrate them. And then, of course, if they have actual workplace experience where they've had to report to somebody else, and if it's in their field, then they're even more marketable. So that's really, it's an individualized experience depending on where a student or alumni is at to talk about how they can build their relevance for their next opportunity.
Well, I share my experience. I started working here in high school, and by the time I graduated, I had 6 years of experience in the field that I wanted to be in. And so a few weeks, maybe 2 weeks after graduating, I had a job at what is now, you know, the one of the two largest communications companies. Mm-hmm. And so when I have the opportunity to talk to students, those who maybe are interviewing for an entry level position, you know, the experience is I know you have to make money to buy that pizza to eat over the weekend, right? But
right.
The experience is very valuable too. And sometimes maybe as students, it's hard to see the value in that. But mm-hmm. maybe from what you're talking this morning, you can attest to that being a great opportunity. And that's just one example.
Absolutely, right. We use the analogy sometimes, right? It's kind of like trying on a hat. Wouldn't it be great when you're in a supportive environment to do an internship 8 to 12 weeks and decide you don't like something, right? That's yeah. almost just as valuable than graduating and then stepping foot in something and then realizing as you start your adult life that you don't like something, right? And so there's value in that experience as well. Additionally, it really is a great way for people to just learn how to network, right? I mean, the majority of jobs are found through connections, whether it's completely tied to what you want to do or not. Everybody knows somebody, right? The 6 degrees of separation. And so that aspect is what we try to educate people on too, is even though you've learned that you don't want to do something or you don't want to go into that field, you've made valuable connections of people who want to help you, because innately people want to help other people succeed.
Sure. Dr. Becca Moore with us, director of MTSU's Career Development Center. Interesting that you bring that up, because there are so many, whatever your major is, there are so many subsets and jobs that maybe you didn't really think about mm-hmm. that could be involved. I don't know. For instance, we were just talking in the previous segment about a stormwater program. Mm-hmm. But if you're a communications major, maybe it's, you know, helping with public relations for the stormwater program and how those things kind of interact. Sometimes we want to put we can't see the drill down, if you will.
Right. I think a lot of times we don't give credit to the notion of we don't know what we don't know. Right. And so it's kind of like peeling an onion. Right. There's layers upon layers upon layers of that onion. And so that's really what we try and do, is we just help people understand how they can take their interests, abilities, aptitudes and skills and apply those to a variety of different settings. That's really what we want people to do to succeed, because, right, you could be a communications person in an agriculture industry, right, in the stormwater industry. But a lot of times people think maybe it's just news or media or something. Mm-hmm. So the world is out there, and that's what our job is to help them understand how they can take all of those things and apply them.
Many times we maybe see those who are in a second career field who, you know, or maybe just use media as an example, leave television or radio to then go work for a program as their media specialist. But the fact that they need to know that that's a possibility. I mean, mm-hmm. is that what the program helps to do? To, you know, it's almost like opening our eyes to what the possibilities could be.
Yes, absolutely. A great example is I also have the privilege of teaching in the animal science program. Right. And I always tell students the first couple of days of class that very few people do not like animals. Right. And just because you like animals, does that mean that you know what careers you can do with animals? And oftentimes the number one answer is, well, I'm going to be a veterinarian. Well, the reality is veterinary school is there's the fewest amount of veterinary schools of professional schools. So the odds of getting in are very rigorous and very tough. Right. And so they have to learn what those different opportunities are out there, because about 1 out of 60 every year in my class get into vet school, right? Now, some years might be better than others, but it's not probable that that's going to happen. But they can still work with animals, whether it's through right, animal control, or like you just mentioned, from a communications, right? There are zoos, aquariums. Livestock is a huge industry that a lot of people don't think about, the food industry, right? And so, yeah, it's just increasing awareness about different opportunities for people. And also, we really work with faculty to help students right? If they see us both in a classroom and faculty recommend that they come see us in that partnership that we have with them, that reinforces the value of the opportunities that are available. And then we coordinate a whole bunch of different events to connect students to industry.
So the center is there for all majors, students, alumni, everyone, right?
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
So tell us where we can find the Career Development Center on campus.
Yeah, so the Career Development Center is located in the KUC building, room 328, or online at just mtsu.edu/career.
And, you know, if you haven't been on campus in a while, if you're an alumni like myself from the 90s, you may want to go on campus just to see how, I mean, the KUC used to be the center of everything, but, you know, now it's shifted a little further down campus a bit, hasn't it?
Yep, it's growing and evolving, but we did get a new facelift recently, so... Yeah, so campus is growing, and with that comes a lot of different opportunity.
Dr. Becca Moore, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Dr. Becca Moore with the MTSU Career Development Center. That's going to wrap up our program. If you missed part of the program this morning, our focus on MTSU today, you can check the podcast. It will be up shortly at WGNSradio.com under Action Line. Under the podcast section, look for Action Line or check it out on Big G TV, Facebook, YouTube, X, and Twitch.